You're listening to Donuts and Top Cow.
Two great tastes that taste better together.
Thanks for listening to our 20th episode.
Woo woo!
My name is John Grigas. I'm one of your hosts today.
I'm Josh Crawley, your other regular host.
And I'm Wade Kopanky, a very special, extra special guest host.
He's actually right, because this is a man on a very terrific holiday. We record this on Friday the 3rd of June, which happens to be known as National Donut Day, being the first Friday of June. And Wade has really outdone himself by bringing a great dozen donuts, great variety. Check out our Facebook page to see a picture of them. And where are the donuts from this week, Wade?
The donuts are from Fosdale's Home Bakery in Stoughton, Wisconsin.
I've got a cream-filled Bismarck, chocolate-frosted white cream-filled Bismarck that I can feel my cholesterol counts just going up as I take each bite.
I already had an apple fritter, and as longtime listeners will realize, they should realize it already. I get a little picky about them. It wasn't as crispy as I would have liked, but lots of tasty cinnamon in the middle. Could use a little more apples, but definitely one of the better ones I've had up north here.
And Josh did some research for us and is going to give us a little information about National Donut Day.
National Donut Day is on the first Friday of June each year, succeeding the Donut Day event created by the Salvation Army in 1938 to honor the women who served donuts to soldiers during World War I. The holiday celebrates the donut, a.k.a. donut, an edible, tortoise-shaped piece of dough which is deep-fried and sweetened. Many American donut stores offer free donuts on National Donut Day. In 2009, both independent donut shops and large national franchises offered free donuts in the United States. And that's taken from the lovely, lovely website Wikipedia. I'd recommend reading more of that. There's some interesting history there involving the Salvation Army lassies of World War I and their huts and mothering the soldiers. That was kind of funny. I read mother as not quite mother, but maybe, you know, I'm not going to say prostitute, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, there goes our family tag now.
Oops.
I'll tell you, I've had a little more of this Bismarck. It's remarkably sweet, and it's remarkably good. It's kind of like it's like a birthday cake and a donut. It's just like the best birthday cake you ever had, just wrapped up in a donut right now.
Yeah, just imagine a town full of middle schoolers that eat those every morning before school. Because that's what we did. It was crazy, insanely busy at like 7:30, 7:45, because class started a little after 8. Yeah. Insane.
I'd like to thank our sponsor, Westfield Comics. Westfield in Madison, Wisconsin has two retail locations. Or you can find them on the web at www.westfieldcomics.com. Also want to acknowledge Top Cow's store, which you can find at www.topcowstore.com. It's the official store of the Top Cow Publishing Company. They are doing a special in the month of June that I recommend everybody take a look at. They are doing a six-pack of issues of Berserker, which is a recent miniseries, and proceeds of this pack in the month of June are going to go towards Joplin, Missouri Tornado Relief Fund. And Joplin, as we all should know, was devastated by a tornado that ran through town in late May, and it also is the hometown of Top Cow artist Jeremy Hahn. And so the Top Cow store is doing this fundraiser, and we recommend that you help out in this way. Beyond that, also, another of our sponsors, DriveThruComics.com, has a special fund that is going to food banks, and they are helping with Joplin, Missouri relief. They have a donation link on their page to send $5, and all of the proceeds of that $5 goes to the food bank that, among other places, helps out the folks in Joplin, Missouri as they recover from that terrible tragedy. So a little more on Donut Day. Since it's Donut Day, we thought we'd do a little guest segment in the show, and we're calling it Donuts and Top Shelf, because Top Shelf Comics has an all-ages book coming out later this year in, I believe it's in trade format, and it's called Okie Dokie Donuts. It is written, drawn, created, and lettered by Chris Eliopoulos. You may recognize Chris's name from the work he does. He does a lot of lettering for Marvel Comics. He has his own webcomic, Misery Loves Sherman, that you can find at miserylovesherman.com. And now he has this upcoming Okie Dokie Donuts. So we read the Free Comic Book Day. There's a little four-page story in the Top Shelf Free Comic Book comic. And what'd you guys think?
There's dogs in it, and they were cute, even if most of them looked angry. I think it's their eyebrows. But what is there? The hot, stinky beef loaves. That cracks me up, especially as I say it out loud more and more. Hot, stinky beef loaves.
It looks like the main villain is a guy named Peter T. Pork, and he's selling hot, like Josh said, hot, stinky beef loaves, which kind of makes you wonder why he hates beef so much if if his last name is Pork. It's kind of ironic.
The basic premise of Okie Dokie Donuts is there is the Okie Dokie Donut Shop in some small town that I don't know the name of, but there is the main mother figure owner is giving away donuts as the story starts in all sorts of flavors to the kids in the neighborhood, and the villain comes up, and as Wade says, it's Peter T. Pork, and he's going to put Mama out of business because he's got his hot, stinky beef loaves. And is quickly thwarted by the dogs that Josh mentioned at the outset.
Looking at this more, I'm wondering if this is going to end up being in color when it comes out. Because it's just gray tones in this short. But some of the tones in some places look a little... They don't have enough contrast, like in neighboring areas. So... Yeah, hopefully we'll get to see more of this in color. Because, it looks pretty fun on the cover. I think that's her there.
Yeah, I think that color would definitely help because, you know, the line work seemed a little busy without the color. So that makes sense to me if you say that it looks like it's, you know, a black and white scan of the colored version because... they're very busy panels. It is a fun story, and you know, Chris Eliopoulos, if you've read his other stuff, he's got a good eye for humor. He also writes the Pet Avengers for Marvel Comics and does some other things. I am a particular supporter of him because he and I share another common hobby and love, and he's a big Walt Disney World fan and expert, and so I actually have interacted with him more. When I have encountered him or met him at a con, I've talked to him more about the Disney stuff than about his comic work, even.
That's heresy. You should only talk about comic books at a comic book convention.
Yeah, right. maybe at the bar afterwards. I don't know, but...
No. I'm totally just kidding. We also did we mention Misery Loves Sherman?
Yeah, at the beginning, but that's a good webcomic.
And is that the one he did the like the $2 collection for or
yes.
something?
And actually he's got two I think there are two editions now. He's got a volume 1 and a volume 2 both available for $2.
Yeah, for that price you're really selling yourself short by not buying that. I think.
So buy two. We recommend that, and we're fans of Chris. So the one thing to go on, Chris is well known as a letterer first and foremost, I think. So what's your opinion of the lettering job on this?
I don't know if it's hand-lettered, but it looks hand-lettered, and it looks pretty good. There are some things I would probably have not done the same, even using the same style. Not that anyone's going to see this, but like right there, I would probably put that balloon tail up there since there's so much dead space there.
And the panel he's talking about is right when Peter T. Pork is introducing himself.
Oh, yeah.
And stating his name.
I'd probably... It'd look a little more like it was coming from his ear, maybe. But I probably would have just put it over his shoulder there instead of dropping it down there over his arm. But, yeah, I mean, that's, you know... As I've learned, it's really easy to armchair quarterback lettering. And that's mostly from not being in the armchair doing it and then seeing it later and being like, oh, why did I not do that? That was silly of me.
Well, I will have to say out of fairness, because you know Josh has a good amount of lettered work out there, I have seen you look at your own lettering work and go, oh, if I had just put that tail right there instead of there. So watch out for Okie Dokie Donuts from Top Shelf. And let's go back to Top Cow. Back on Donuts and Top Cow, we've got a lot of Top Cow news that's happened. It is Heroes Convention weekend as we record this. It's just kicking off today. And we already had a couple of bombs dropped when Ron Mars announced that he was leaving Witchblade after 150 issues. And 144 just came out, so we still have 6 issues to go.
Issue 150, not 155 issues. Or 100.
Oh, true.
150. Yeah, I can't even keep...
Maybe I was just trying to rope him into staying on the book for a while.
Yeah, just another 79 issues, that's all.
Any thoughts about Ron leaving the book?
I'm kind of in a state of denial right now. I don't want to think about it. It kind of... Yeah. That's all I got.
What do you think, Wade?
Well, I'll say I just started reading Witchblade with the first trade, which if you can go to like Westfield and pick it up for $4.99 if they have it in stock. So I've started there. I read the second trade, and I picked up the third one, but I haven't read it yet. And it's really drawn me in. I didn't think I would enjoy Witchblade as much as I am. I had picked it up probably the first 40 issues when it originally launched. I'm not sure when that was. 10 years ago?
15 years ago.
15 years ago. And I'll say that I'm with Ron Mars writing it, I've liked his DC work, and it's really been really interesting and really good. So I can't wait to see how it finishes with him, and I'm interested to see who will be writing it next. But I know that as a new reader, I still have probably a good 40 issues that I still get to read through. So it'll be painful in the end, but right now I'm still enjoying it.
So you've read that trade 1 and 2, and what'd you think about? I have my opinion, but what can you? How did you take those first two trades? How'd they hit you?
Well, the first one was okay. It wasn't great. I'm sure I've read better comics. But it was a good introduction to the character. It made me remember what I had liked about Witchblade for the first 40 or so issues that I picked up. And nothing really... I can't really remember what really happened in it. I know she was in a coma to begin with, and then she gets out of the coma, and she fights some bad guys. You know, basic comic book storyline, what happens. And the second one, there were some more personal stories. There's a story about someone who works at her old precinct because she gets moved to a new precinct with a granddaughter that's involved, that was very, you know, very personal, very touching story. And it just really started to grow on me. So I was very excited to pick up Volume 3. Unfortunately, I just haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Well, that's a good perspective. I approached it pretty much the same way when I started reading it. I actually read Volume 1 twice. I read it and was kind of nonplussed by it, and I donated it. I gave it away. And then it just came around again, and I had an opportunity to pick up another copy. So I picked up another copy and read it, and it pretty much hit me the same way. But then at that time, I got Volume 1 and Volume 2 at the same time. So by the time I read Volume 2, then I really started getting into it. So that's one of the things I've been telling people is try to stick in through the first 3 trades, because I know that you'll be sucked in the rest of the way.
Josh is very persistent when it comes to that first volume or to any Top Cow book. Really, if it wasn't for Josh, I wouldn't be reading Witchblade right now. He's really the one who pushed that first trade, because it is only $4.99 here at Westfield. And you pick it up, you read it. It's all right. I actually read it twice as well. When I bought the second one, I went back and reread the first trade. And really drags you in. And that's the way Josh kind of is with most of the Top Cow stuff that they have here. Mm-hmm. Is he really wants you to read it. Because for a long time, as you guys have said in previous episodes, it has really just been like a, everyone's kind of looked it over because they think it is just for the art, for the eye candy, but there really is a good story behind it.
Yeah, and that's what Ron, I think, has really pushed up the pushed the envelope for with the Witchblade line. And he is moving on. The good part of the news is that he and Stefan Sejic are moving on to another Top Cow book, which hasn't been, they haven't released any hints or anything about what it's going to be, but at least that gives us a little comfort that we're not going to lose that creative team.
At least as we record this, they haven't announced, because...
That's true. You might know
this weekend. Knowing our luck, we'll record this, and then, like, later in the day, they'll announce it, and we'll be like, oh, there goes that, which is why I don't think I'm... I'm going to throw something out there real quick. Not too much speculation, but I'm going with Aphrodite 4.
That would be good. And see now, and I suggested, well, maybe it'll be Aphrodite 5. And boy, did I get scoffed at that idea.
Well, because since it was originally 9, it was, you know, the Roman numeral formatting, and the 4 just kind of is a nice odd throwback, actually, to it. You know, even after her body was destroyed and rebuilt once, they didn't renumber her after that. And I imagine at this point they actually wouldn't do any more destruction past what we've seen in artifacts so far. So
yeah, it makes sense. And plus, you know, if they call her Aphrodite 5, then you bring in the whole Brainiac 5 thing, and that doesn't... That'd be a good crossover, though.
Hmm. They both have green.
Possibilities.
And sometimes circles drawn on their faces.
Maybe. So, in any case, just another reminder, we've reminded you about 4 times already, we're recording this before Heroes Con. One of the things that we're anxious about is an announcement of who the artist for Artifacts 13 is going to be. We still don't know at this time. If you've been listening to our show for a while, you know that we're squarely on the position that it'll be Mark Silvestri. And if it's not Mark Silvestri, well, it should be Mark Silvestri. There's some other great talent out there. I'm sure they'll get the perfect artist, but we're looking forward to that announcement. And that may come as early as this week, because Previews is soliciting Artifacts 12, and Previews just came out last week. So we'll just take a quick look at some of the Top Cow books that are solicited to come in August.
Alrighty, good old Previews. Epoch number 1. Top Cow Productions and Heroes and Villains Entertainment proudly present a dark and intensely kinetic tale from writer Kevin McCarthy. You will know him from Red Sonja and The Amazing Adventures of the Escapist, possibly. And newcomer Paolo Pantalena. What If House of M and War of Kings Darkhawk, you may know him from. Jonah Bishop is an NYPD detective assigned to a mysterious murder case that threatens to rip the reality he knows and plunge him into the shadow world of his heritage. The supernatural. Jonah's quest will drop him deep in the middle of a conspiracy that threatens to tear apart the very fabric of society. And if you get print previews, there's a few pages of preview art here. Looks pretty good. It reminds me a bit of a little bit of Joe Madureira-ish. I dig it.
Yeah, it looks intriguing. It is a 5-issue miniseries.
Yes, sorry. Number 1 of 5. August 31st, 32 pages, full color, mature, $3.99. And I'll flip a couple more pages here, and then we get to The Darkness Accursed, Volume 5, trade paperback. Also out on August 31st, 144 pages. Full color for you teen readers, $16.99. Jackie Estacado, the current bearer of the darkness, was blackmailed and lied to by a devil calling himself the Sovereign. Now free from the Sovereign's grip, Jackie has assembled a motley crew of criminals with one goal: destroy every last one of the Sovereign's reliquaries. His quest will pit him against a former Russian mob boss turned art collector, a mute mystic, countless of the Sovereign's statues, and even traitors within his midst. And that pretty much wraps up the second year. And there's also a Josh Fialkoff one-issue dealy in there, issue 89. Ooh, Artifacts number 12 of 13, the penultimate issue. And I don't think we really need to say any more about Artifacts at this point, because if you listen to this podcast and you don't know, Me telling you right now isn't going to do any good.
But we'll be picking that one up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, The Darkness number 95, also out on August 31st. Are all the Top Cow books out on... Yeah, it looks like all the Top Cow books are listed as August 31st so far. It's going to be a crazy week.
That's either a big week, or they figure, well, let's just cover ourselves by putting us on the last day of the month, and then we'll release within the month and make it, I don't know.
Could be.
Could be clever.
Darkness number 5, Outer Darkness, part 6. The Darkness declares all-out war against its most rebellious bearer, Jackie Estacado. With a small group of loyal allies, Jackie must face down an army of doppelgangers, a scorned woman from his past, and the very source of his own power. Last Mortal number 4 of 4.
Wrapping up.
Minotaur / Top Cow. Regicide part 4. The finale of the hard-hitting supernatural noir series from Minotaur Press is here. Alec King, the suicidal immortal, has been beat down, stabbed, and shot so many times he's beginning to lose count. But finally, the man responsible for his best friend's death is in his sights. Oh, yes, that's a spoiler alert. The question remains, will Alec be able to make the hard decision for the first time in his miserable life? Mysterious Ways, number 2 of 6, by Jason Rubin and Tyler Kirkham. Sam is a nightmare he cannot wake up from. Pursued by the cops and feds for a series of murders he doesn't remember committing, Sam is in desperate need of sanctuary. Will a mad blind priest lead him to salvation? Netherworld, number 5 of 5. Oh, hey, Mysterious Ways, August 10th, Netherworld, August 17th. So maybe it's just Top Cow Universe stuff on the 31st?
Ah, yes.
Back to Netherworld number 5 of 5. We are all lost. It comes down to this. Either Ray gets Madeline on the train out of the city, or we will all be lost. Forever. But first, he has to get through Cyrus Kane.
So August is Top Cow month in a big way. We've got two miniseries wrapping up.
Yeah, another one kicking Witchblade. Off. Well, Shinku's not really Top Cow, but since there's not an issue of Witchblade, I'm going to read the solicitation for Shinku number 3. Story by Ron Mars, art and cover by Lee Motor, Matthew Waite, and Michael Atiyah. Throne of Blood, part 3, out on August 10th, by the way. The key to destroying the vampire plague is almost within Shinku's grasp, but can she keep her new ally, Davis, alive long enough to actually use it? Blood splatters and as Ron Mars and Lee Motor's martial arts and horror mashup continues.
That one's a really good book, but we'll let you listen to the guys over at the Image Addiction podcast to hear more details about Shinku. But it is definitely worth picking up, and there's a lot of goodness to be read in that book. So what are you going to buy out of those, Wade?
Well, out of those, I will pick up Artifacts. I had read the first trade and then picked up the issue since then, and being new to the Top Cow universe, I was still able to understand who the characters were and understand the 13 artifacts and basically who has them and what their powers are. I really like the story so far, so I will certainly pick that up. And I think that Ron Mars' new book will either be a spin-out of Artifacts or maybe a brand new Witchblade number 1. Everyone seems to be doing it.
Never know. That's a pretty good thought. I was thinking that, I playing off of what you're saying, I'd like to see G ongoing, and G right now is the wielder of the 13th artifact, and it'd be interesting to see that morph into that. Or, you know, that, or maybe it's the survivor / curator / whatever, you know, whatever that character will evolve into.
Speaking of the new Witchblade number 1, which amazingly is not something I'd thought of, and partially why I thought of, or I don't know that this logic is going to make sense with the way I'm speaking right now, but I could see a new Witchblade number 1, if only because, what if Sarah doesn't survive?
Oh, yeah.
And Ron had said at one point he wanted to deal with kind of introducing some of the elements that would eventually be seen in the Witchblade anime and the Witchblade manga, which, as far as I can tell, we haven't really seen any, even anything implicitly. Like, you know, I mean, unless he's going to destroy part of Tokyo very soon with G using the 13th artifact. No corporation names I notice. Unless my one theory is that, and why I thought it might be Aphrodite 4 is that that might become the company that then tries to synthesize the Witchblade later on in the Witchblade anime.
Ah, yeah. Well, you heard it here first, or at least I heard it here first.
Bum, bum, bum.
From Josh. That's an interesting idea. And 150
but
seems
Wade's
like
really
the perfect
to blame.
Time to do that. I like it.
Throwing surprises out left and right.
Evolution. Well, then let's leave Jake dead, too, then, okay?
Please. I do have a question for both of you, if you don't mind. With Phil Hester leaving Darkness on issue 100 and now Ron Mars leaving Witchblade on issue 150, both of those are coming out right around the same time. Do you think that there will be some type of major shakeup with those characters? Because it would kind of be a good jumping on point for new readers, or do you think that will be covered in artifacts?
You know, I said I wasn't going to theorize, and now you're giving me reasons to theorize. One of my theories is that Phil could take over Witchblade.
That was the first thing I thought, maybe. I'd like to see him write and draw Witchblade.
I'm trying to remember if I've ever seen Phil draw Sarah before. Don't know that I have. My guess for replacement artist would probably be someone they've used in the last few years, but probably not... not anyone that would do multiple story arcs in a row, but maybe like a rotating group of two artists. But I can definitely see Michael Broussard coming on to Witchblade after seeing how awesome he did with that first artifacts arc. That would be so sweet.
Do you have any ideas?
No, not really. I just started scratching the surface of the Top Cow universe, so... You guys have been reading it for a while or really into it, so...
Have they announced a book for Jeremy Hahn after Artifacts?
Yeah, Jeremy is doing Darkness basically for one story arc with Phil, and then Phil will be going, and then Jeremy will kind of be on as kind of the anchor.
Yeah.
The other thing that hasn't quite been dealt with that I recall is there was mention made of... plots being given away in the artifacts playing cards, but I haven't seen any. Well, the cards haven't shipped yet, so right. I don't quite know where all that's going to end up, but maybe those announcements are going to come from that.
Yeah, a lot of intriguing.
But the covers might have to change, too, because, well, they're the John Tyler Christopher covers were being used for the cards, but every piece of artwork I've seen, no one's had, like, there's been no drastic changes. I wouldn't put it past them to be like, oh, Sarah's got the Angelus now. And
yeah. Interesting.
Danny's Witchblade again or something crazy.
Now I was just thinking if he wasn't about to have his first child with his wife, I'd start, you know, we've been seeing Philip write more and more.
Huh. Yeah.
But that might be a handful to be the Top Cow publisher and then also a first-time parent.
But Last Mortal's been done for quite a while, I think.
Yeah, I would imagine
and,
that's true.
You know, so that really, it's not like he's been pumping out piles of stuff. It's just we're seeing it now. Doesn't necessarily mean he just wrote it.
Well, and then he wrote the Patrick Gleason story in Witchblade 144.
Yeah, but I mean, between the two of those, I mean, Last Mortal's got a co-writer, I think.
Right, it does.
Yeah, so I mean, it's, you know, they've been working on that for years. The Gleason thing might have just come up and been like, hey, I got an idea for this. I think, you know, I can do it in time, and it all worked out.
Well, let us know what you think about the writing team, unless, of course, they've made all these announcements at HeroesCon this weekend. Then just make fun of us. And you can do that at DTC Podcast on Twitter, at DTC Podcast, or you can do it directly via email to dtcpodcast@gmail.com. Also, find us on Facebook, because we have a page and it's fairly active. So come check us out over there.
Yeah, we're have we decided what we're doing for that?
Wait. For our June contest?
June contest, yes. It involves Facebook and posting something.
It involves Facebook. And what we want you to do, and we're going to use basically both of our ideas, because we have some people who are big Top Cow fans that listen to us, and we have some people who are a lot newer to the Top Cow universe that are listening to us. So we'd like you to go on Facebook, and of course we'd like you to like us. Who doesn't want to be liked? And then post on our wall one of two things. Either post your favorite classic Top Cow series or book or character, or post which of the books that Josh read about in the June previews for shipping in August that you're most intrigued about or most looking forward to. And please do that with a new post so we can get a little interaction and discussion back and forth. We will put some details up on that site as well, but give us your answer to one of those two, and you will be eligible to win a sweet Witchblade action figure sculpted by Clyburn Moore and brought to the table and put out for our prize by our very own Wade. And you want to tell us a little bit about the action figure you're putting up for prize?
I sure will. I picked this up in 1998 at Wizard World Chicago when Wizard World was still around, and Clyburn Moore was there signing figures, so I got him to sign it, and it's kind of been sitting around in my house for the last 15 years, and I found it the other day. I had it sitting out. My wife saw it.
That's enough to do it right there.
Not super excited that it's still around the house, so I said, I'll take it to the guys at the Donuts and Top Cow podcast, and they can give it away. So I'm getting it out of my house so that way it can go into someone else's house. It is Sarah in her original costume, obviously from around 1998, where it's covers up her feet really nicely, her shoulder and her hand really well. Everything else is there, I guess. But yeah,
there as Michael Turner intended it to be, I guess.
It is a very nice sculpt by Clyburn Moore, and it comes with a power staff and a little stand where you can stand her up on, and if you want to open her or you can just keep her in the package. Toy should be played with, so she should be opened. But this one is signed, so I never did open it.
And we'll have a picture of it put up on that Facebook page if you want to check out what the June prize looks like. And speaking of prizes, we've got a few things to give away.
Oh, yeah, giving away stuff.
The first thing we'll give away is from Free Comic Book Day. We'd like to thank the people who stopped by Westfield Comics on the east side of Madison and have read character profiles for our show. We've been playing them the last few weeks, and we had 11 people read character profiles for us, so they are all in a drawing to win a Cyberforce Hunter Killer trade paperback that was sponsored by DriveThruComics.com. So it'll be a digital version of the Cyberforce Hunter Killer trade paperback. And our lucky winner for this drawing is Monica, who is a friend of Jennifer with FantasticFangirls.org. At least that's the bio that I have written down for her. But she read last week's recording where she read about Sarah Pizzini for our Witchblade episode. So congratulations, Monica. We will be in touch with you via email on how you can redeem that trade paperback, and Drive-Thru Comics will be in touch with you directly to give you that code. So thank you very much to everybody who participated, and congratulations, Monica. And now for our May contest, we had a Top Cow prize pack, and we will, once the prize has been delivered, we will post a picture of the contents, but it's going to have some Top Cow goodies. It's going to have some donuts as well attached. And the contest for May was to follow us on Twitter, and all of our Twitter followers would be in the drawing. Josh put the number in the random drawinator, and the winner of our May contest is
Supergirl Love, a.k.a. Ashley. She wants you to talk nerdy to her.
Yeah, that's what it says in her profile.
And a little smiley face. So congratulations, Ashley.
We will also be in touch with you with how we can send your prize out to you. And congratulations again on the pack. And now prize number three. We do have a lingering prize out there that is still to be determined. We're still going through the judging process on that. But our reader, Donnie Stewart, a listener and a friend of the podcast, he, if you'll recall, several episodes ago, he gave us a review of Velocity. And he has donated a signed copy of Echoes number one. And that prize was to somebody who tweeted out what their favorite donut is. So we will continue to weed that down, and we're working with Donnie directly on that, so we'll be able to announce that by the next show.
Wow, it's been a long show today.
It's been a long show, but a fun show. Well, you know, it's a holiday.
Yeah,
so you
it
spend
is.
More time with family and friends, and actually Wade's family has also joined us. want to officially congratulate Wade and his wife on the birth of their second baby, and they're hanging out here with us, and they sponsored our donuts today, and we're very grateful that you're able to come by.
Well, thank you very much. William.
Hi.
Can you say hi to the microphone?
You want to say hi to our listeners? Say really loud, hi.
Hi.
All right, well, thanks. Now you'll be on the internet. But just your voice, so that's okay. Bye-bye. Well, we hope you had a good celebration. By the time you're listening to this, Donut Day's over. But you know what? Donut Day just doesn't end for us. So we'll see you on our next Donut Day, which will be sometime next week. Have a great week.
Good journey.